The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Anchor girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Live from the floor of Comic-Con, it's my brother and me. An advice show for the modern era. I'm Marmaduke.
I'm Naruto. Is that a thing?
Yeah, you're Naruto. I'm Marmaduke. Travis, who are you cosplaying as?
Beetle Bailey.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Travis won it.
Sarge is back on the case. He's going after Trav again.
Travis has actually mashed up Beetle Bailey and Big Black Beetleborgs, which everyone knows we're all about. It's basically Beetle Bailey, but in a robot bug suit.
It's Big Bad Beetle Bailey.
Yeah.
If this is supposed to be a comic convention, there should be way more stink lines floating around this place. That's all I can think is, like, if this were a comic book, you wouldn't even be able to see the signs. You wouldn't be able to navigate the floor.
You're talking about, like, Pigpen-esque stink lines.
Pigpens, stink.
PU flies.
I think there should be more PU flies. I think if you wanted to cosplay something, you should just have visible stink lines emanating from your body. Because, come on, man. Look at yourself. Hey,
That's a slippery slope, though, because if I ever went to Comic-Con, I would just walk around and just be like, oh, your PU lines. Oh, your stink lines. Oh, no? You just kind of... That's just the stink of the con.
We're not actually there, but we can... through the magic of audio and imagination, we can be there.
I'm really happy to see all of the Kevin James cosplayers this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I bet Kevin James is there. I bet he's dressed up like the fattest Doctor Who.
Yeah, it shouldn't be tough to find a fat guy at Comic-Con. Let's just all keep an eye peeled for him.
Doctor Who Took My Lasagna, starring Kevin James.
Doctor Who Moved My Beef Butter Sandwich. I'm starving. Doctor, who could ever love a man that can't put their arms around? That's a pretty good cosplay, Comic-Con cosplayer. So this is obviously an advice show for the modern era. I am your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I am your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your youngest brother, Griffin McElroy.
Griffin, who's transported, coming to you for the first time, in beautiful Austin, Texas.
Such a lovely city. So lovely, so arid. I love how arid it is.
Is my favorite. Is everything Adobe?
Everything is Adobe, Photoshop, and Premiere, and Soundbooth. So
that sounds nice.
It's a little software joke for everybody. Hope you enjoyed it.
You can expect much more of that in the hour to come. Griffin, you said it was arid. So with your blonde hair and blue eyes, you must be fitting in really well.
That's not what that word means. But it's close.
You kept saying, I really want to move there. It's arid. And then you would wink, and I wouldn't understand. But now I think I finally get it.
So you might call it the master state, and I would wink again. And they'd be like, well, now you're just, everyone knows.
I'm not even being clever anymore. Hey, let's get into some advice. I've got the best group of friends. Problem is, they're all guys. Did I mention I'm a girl?
You didn't. You didn't. You just wrote that. That's two sentences in. You know you
two
didn't.
Two sentences deep.
Yet.
You didn't know. Of course you wrote, you're a girl. It said right there. And you knew that going in. And this question's a trick. I'm not sure I want to read. Like, what other surprises
does she have in the twist? I'm a girl. Follow me.
I feel like she's wilding out.
Oh, you think it's a punk situation where the rabbit hole just keeps getting deeper. Well, let's see. I've always gotten along better with the opposite gender, but I'm getting sick of all the testosterone. I really need some female friends in my life, but don't know where to start. What's the best way to make some girlfriends without appearing desperate? That's from Tired of the Sausage Fest.
Who the fuck do you think we are?
Yeah.
Yeah, why do you think that we have any wisdom to impart to you in this particular situation?
You could, like, braid each other's hair, get manicures, and
go shopping. You gotta find someone to braid first. You can't just walk up to.
No, you can just do a drive-by. You can do a drive-by braiding.
Let me see those locks. We're going to be real good friends.
We're going to get real close. Let's go get our nails done. Getting your nails did is good. Mm-hmm. Because you
can you just open a nail salon and then befriend your
ooh, patients? That could work out really well.
You don't have to open up a small business to make friends.
That's true. That's quite an investment on something that may not pan out.
Go to the gym, join like a spinning class or something.
The problem is like I don't know how if I knew how to meet girls.
Yeah.
Like if you can crack that particular case, then we'd have something. But I how does anybody meet a girl? I don't know. I don't remember how I met my wife. I just knew her, and then we were wed.
I believe I've always known her.
Yeah. She just was, and then I married her. But I do not remember. I don't think we actually met. I don't think I've ever met a girl. Now that I think about it, I don't think I've ever met one.
I would say that I think that making new friends, no matter what gender, kind of follow the same rule of thumb as trying to find like a boyfriend or girlfriend or romantic relationship, which is if you go out looking for it, you're going to scare all of them away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you roll up and you start a conversation with a girl at, you know, Starbucks or something, and you're like, so can we like hang out and be best friends and stuff? She is not going to want to hang out with you ever again because you are scary.
I don't think this listener would do that, Travis, what you just said.
She asked, you know, how to do it without appearing desperate. And I think, you know, you build slowly the same way you do any relationship. You know, mm-hmm. you hang out a couple times, you make plans, anything like that. Just, you know, if you meet someone and they seem fun and, you know, you would like to hang out with them more, just ask them.
I feel like you should just embrace the situation you have now. I feel like you could have a real Queen of the Nile situation on your hands if you play your cards right.
Oh, really? Sort of like a waited on hand and foot, Queen of the boys type situation?
Like carried around town on a palanquin. Like, I think this would all be really, really good.
Don't any of these guys have girlfriends or sisters or anything?
Oh, that's a good connection. Yeah. Or
moms.
Moms are great friends. They've got a lot of good stories. They have those genes.
Sure.
That look like that.
This sucks. We don't have, like, I don't know any girls. I'm almost certain that they don't exist.
This is one of those things, though, where we get that question all the time. How do I make friends? I don't know. What's your skill set? Like, what?
You know, I need to know something about you. What are you bringing to the table?
Yeah, what are you funny? Or maybe you're really smart. Or you're rich. What are your strengths that are going to draw people into you?
Because there's only three, and they're funny, smart, or rich. So which are you? Which
skill
tree are
you? Or super attractive. Super attractive is the other one. Maybe you have this army of guys that follows you around that can lift heavy things for them and help them move and stuff.
Why don't you send those guys out like birds of prey and say, go bring me some women.
Fetch me women, men. I think we've probably constructed a far different relationship between her and her male friends.
It's kind of a hive mind thing here.
Which is right. We've established her as quite the queen bee. I'm not sure it rolls out just like that, but I think asking them like trying to hang out with like if they got a sister or a mom or something. I think that's actually a pretty good play. You know, meeting people through people is always easier than making that initial connection.
Everybody has a hip aunt.
Everybody's got a cool Aunt Julie. A lot of my friends, and also my brother, are trying to tell me to live with my fiancé before we are married. I don't like that idea, because I'm trying to follow the biblical teaching on the situation, and I've told them this on many occasions. Could you please help me with this?
Yeah.
Like, well, for people trying to live a biblical lifestyle, you have certainly come to the right program. Mm-hmm. Let me walk you through what my Bible says. Of course, my Bible is the hit gift book, the bro code based on the hit television show How I Met Your Mother. This is supposedly written by Barney Stinson, but I'm pretty sure they had a workshop of ghostwriters. That's my Bible. And my Bible says, just go for it, bro.
Really?
Yeah, that's what it says in my Bible. Just live with her, and then they've got like a picture of Barney from How I Met Your Mother, and he's just sort of sitting He's kind of winking at the camera, but you kind of know what he's saying.
Is he wearing a suit, perchance?
Yeah, he is. He has suited up, I think, to is how you would say it. It's a great gift book. It's available for $14.99 at your local, well, not Borders, but
Spencer's.
Spencer's Gifts.
Spencer's is filling the Borders void now. They're just selling they're selling literature and blow up fuck dolls. Is there too?
I don't think that Spencer's sells blow up fuck dolls.
Oh, yeah, they do.
They do, but as goofs.
Yeah.
They're not like sexy blow up fuck dolls. They're like Queen Elizabeth. Like, get it?
I'm with you. Mike, I would tell them that they need to back off, and you're going to do your thing, and they're going to do their thing, and then later, where they're in hell burning forever, then they can get back with you on whether or not you made the right decision. But for right now, no dice. Don't judge Mike.
I don't think it's a terrible, awful idea to live with your fiance before marriage. But if you don't want to, like,
sure, right? Like, if you're asking for what I think you should do, what I think you should do is live with somebody before you marry them, but I think that what you don't need right now is more people telling you what to do in your life. Like, you don't need an advice show. You need a show called, like, Back Off Mike, where just guys tell people,
step out my grill.
Get out Mike's grill.
Starring nobody.
Yeah. Yeah. In everything, and like every major decision in your life, there will be just countless people that think they know it better than you because they've done it before, or they've seen it in movies, or they've read it in magazines. Tell them just to back the fuck off, because it's your situation. Like, advice is always welcome, but at the end of the day, it's your decision, not theirs.
At the end of the day, step off.
Yeah.
I'm gonna interject here and just say that ignore everything that Justin and Travis are saying, because you got to live with them.
Oh, you totally do, but you just don't need to listen to your friends and brother. Listen to us.
You got to listen to us, because you got to listen. You got to live with her. Oh, man, because she does some shit. Idea. She does some shit that you don't know about yet, that you need to know about before you get betrothed. Like, what if she poops in the shower? That's not something you're going to get until you share a residence with her.
Can I throw this out? Two-bedroom apartment.
You're thinking that'll keep it holy.
Yeah, I'm saying he can live with her without necessarily caving in on the biblical teachings.
Hey, Travis.
Uh-huh.
Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is not an RA that you can... We're not trying to fucking thwart the dean here, okay? Like, it's Jesus. He knows what's up. He's not fucking fooled by your chicanery. He knows the score. Like, he's not like, oh, looks like two different apartments from way up here.
I sit, this seems pretty kosher.
You gotta get a 3-bedroom apartment, right? And then you guys sleep on the outer perimeter bedrooms, and in the middle bedroom, that's where the Holy Spirit sleeps.
Mm-hmm. Oh, leave a little space there. He'll appreciate the gesture. Even though he will continue to help forever. My body is ready for Yahoo.
Let me see if I can help you with that. Oh, this one was sent in by Gabriel Pinto.
Okay.
Usually these questions are just like super bad ideas, but this one is actually like... This one's actually a really good solution to an important problem. It was asked by... ASDFVBSD, which makes me think that he took his name selection pretty seriously. and he asked, why don't they STD test everyone all at once?
Okay.
Like, to kill off all of the treatable stuff and alert people with non-curable ones so they cannot spread it and also treat it. Because, like, now, there is super gonorrhea that isn't curable yet. And this is going to happen with every curable STD eventually.
Mm-hmm. He's
saying, like, just massive people roundup.
He's saying, hey, everyone on the earth, it's chlamydia day.
Okay.
And everyone goes to the doctor, and they get their chlamydia cured, and then guess what, guys? Chlamydia is gone.
So, okay, wait, hold on. So, on one day, everyone in the world... Chlamydia day. Yeah, thank you. Everyone in the world on the simultaneously go to the hospital.
Yes,
is this
yes.
the concept?
So and far? They would have
so the world grinds to a halt, so we can get rid of chlamydia.
It'll be like the rapture, but for wiener disease. Is that what you're saying?
We got 3.5 billion dicks. We got 3.5 billion vaginas.
Uh-huh.
Let's just get them all peeped at the same moment in time, and then where did all of our diseases go? Where's I don't know where my chlamydia went. And by my chlamydia, I mean the Earth's chlamydia. It's gone.
Okay, but real quick, just brain teaser here.
Okay.
Who checks the checkers?
They check each other.
They okay. check each other.
What are you... I think here's the one of the infrastructure issues you're going to run into here
okay.
is that you got to already have a lot of beautiful people getting treated for chlamydia all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And they are there's going to be a line of other people
oh,
waiting.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they're going to rehook up. In that they're going to go to the coat check room at the hospital.
At the hospital, the coat check room.
The coat check room.
The champagne room.
The lab coat check room.
Uh-huh.
And they're gonna hook up. Hey, quick side note, not to derail us too much. Did you know that doctors sometimes prescribe beer?
No.
They have prescription beer at the hospital. Like, if you're an alcoholic...
No, you're fucking with me.
They don't want you to have, like, the DTs there, you know, while you're getting treated for something else. So, they have prescription beer.
Like, is it MGD64?
They will, like, prescribe you a cold one.
Oh, it's gotta be the worst. It's gotta be, like, Schlitz. Like, he needs 30 seasons of Schlitz.
Shasta beer. Is what it is. This is Faygo beer. Like, beer... But yeah, I
see, that's only going to help fuel the Chlamydia Day fuck party.
Oh, shit. Yeah,
right. They're going to open all the prescription beers, and they're going to get crazy.
So what we've established here is that by trying to cure chlamydia, we create a perfect storm.
A ground zero
super
white,
chlamydia
a white
is created.
Squall of pee-pee diseases.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. To the point where it like becomes corporeal and takes human form.
Oh, yeah. Gross!
Like Mr. Like, Yuck.
Like, and then you gotta call the Ghostbusters.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Obviously.
Guys, what kind of world do you want? Let me ask. There's two worlds that we can live in. You can decide. One.
I don't want to be in the one with the man made of chlamydia. If that's
well,
option A.
Do we want a world with a like a Golgotha-esque demon made of venereal diseases, or do we want to live in a world where super gonorrhea is a thing that anyone can get at any time for sitting on the wrong toilet seat?
That's a really when you make it the point like that, it seems a lot more compelling actually.
You can stay away from the Golgotha-esque demon. You can stay away from him.
No, the good thing about the demon is that it gives us something concrete to fight.
To fear?
You know, so often you hear people say, it's time for us to fight AIDS. But mm-hmm. now it'll be like, no, really.
Oh, if you could, like, fisticuffs, go round and round with AIDS.
Get a gun, hide behind those sandbags, and help us fight the AIDS
Do you hear about Jim? Oh, no, what? Totally took out AIDS the other day.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Single-handedly.
Beat
with
the
a saber.
Ever-loving shit out of it. Way to go. I'm uncomfortable with this question. I didn't know diseases can become super diseases if we let them go unchecked. Like, that's horrifying to me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and our over-reliance on antibiotics will make a lot of things untreatable.
They evolve.
Yeah, right. Well, do you know what we can do?
Like Pokemon.
Do you know what we can do is catch them all? No, you know what we can do is...
What?
Get everybody to go to the hospital on the same day and then just cure them.
Let's do another Yahoo.
Okay.
This is the questions, of course, that we've taken from the Yahoo Answers service.
Stolen.
Stolen-ish.
And purloined.
And are answering them.
Dragooned. How about this one? This one's sent in by Elizabeth Clevin. Thank you, Elizabeth. It's by Yahoo Answers user Haley Judd, who asks, do you think it's a bad idea to name your kids after characters of your favorite movie? I really want to name my future kids after Harry Potter characters, but nothing too overbearing. I was thinking names like Ivana Luna, Aiden James, Hermione Evelyn, or Evelyn Hermione, Lily Charlotte. What do you think? If you're Harry Potter fans, add some of your opinions of names, Poles.
Okay, I like Harry Potter. Don't fucking do that.
This is my son, Crookshanks Dobby.
Yeah, this is This is Dobby Crookshanks.
This is my son punch me right in the balls in and throw me in a locker and leave me there forever.
This is my son uninvited to every party ever.
This is my son fart in my mouth in gym class. So
this is my son get jacked on PCP and threw himself out a bedroom window. He's had a rough life. It's maybe dates back to, it's hard to pinpoint the exact moment, but it's probably when I decided to name him Hagrid Bertie Bott's Every Flavor Beans.
Hi, I'm Stephen Voldemort, and I would appreciate it if you just stop bullying me just constantly.
And if you do not mind, please stop saying my name. It's disrespectful.
It is troubling. Sorry, I'm not better at sports, but
and please, it's Steve. He who shall not be named. I'm Stephen. He who shall not be named.
He who shall not be kissed.
Ever or touched.
He who shall not be invited.
Don't ever.
He who shall not be successful.
Poor don't kid. Ever do this.
Don't do this thing.
Don't do this thing that you're saying.
This thing you've said, don't do this.
Haley, don't do this thing because for the reasons that we've just outlined, and also Harry Potter's a book, not a movie, you dummy. I mean, it's also a movie, but it was a book first. And thirdly, there's so many other better movie names that you can use.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, Condor Man. It's right there.
Condor Man. T-Rex from Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Is my favorite character.
I mean, you could pretty much go any direction. This is my son, Val Kilmer Batman.
Yeah. You have to be so specific.
Yeah, you really do want to be. You don't want him to be George Clooney just swarthing around with swarthiness as that Batman. You want that Val Kilmer Batman. That's a recipe for success.
No nipple Batman is the best Batman. It's the only Batman.
The only Batman.
Here's the thing. If you name your kid, like, Hermione anything, like, who do you think you're fooling? Like,
that's true.
Isn't going to go, oh, Harry Potter.
And you'd be like, no, no, no. Just no, like I was way into that name before Harry Potter came out, so.
The problem is you might be able to extract a name that would work for you, but you would have to get, to make it a name that's not immediately identifiable as a Harry Potter name, you'd have to get so deep catalog that I think the effect would be lost.
Yeah. Definitely don't name your offspring Hogwarts, because that's not an attractive name. Also, I think that tomorrow everybody should go to the hospital at the same time so we can finally cure Hogwarts. I have warts just all up and down my hog. It is a bad scene.
It is a bad scene down there. Up until 2 weeks ago, almost all my meals were provided either by my loving parents or the surprisingly excellent dining facilities at my university. Now, however, I've been living in an apartment for the past 2 weeks, and in that time, practically all I've managed to put into my body is an embarrassing amount of delivery pizza and chain restaurant burritos. And fuck, I'm hungry. I'm sick and tired of this, and I need new things to eat. What should I do to broaden my palate? That's from Culinary Child.
This is, oh man, God, your first 2 or 3 years out of college, you're going to eat like an asshole, man.
Mm-hmm.
I ate like a jerk.
All I do is eat bacon and drink orange soda.
Griffin would come over to my house after he got out of college. He would come over to my house sometimes, and he would have things that were, he would have bags from fast food places that were so scratty around. I didn't even know they really existed. Like, like those places you see, like, but no one ever actually eats there. Like, did you go to Frost Top? What are you doing?
Chompers? That's not even a restaurant.
Who goes not anymore. To Chompers?
Griffin, where the fuck did you find a Rax? not only that, but I mean, I ate a lot of ramen. I would put hot dogs in the ramen and be like, it's a meal now. Protein. What's up? It's such a bad scene. You gotta do that though. You gotta learn. You gotta be carefully taught.
The two things that I can actually recommend is one, find yourself a cooking guru, to use a popular phrase.
Is that popular?
Somebody on TV or who writes books that it's sort of at your skill level, because there's different, you know, different people are sort of doing, different television shows, different books are at a different level. I like Alton Brown a lot. Mm-hmm. You can get on board with him. And there's another guy, his name's The Cooking Guy, Sam Zien, I think, Z-I-E-N. And just start making some of the stuff that looks the easiest, and you build from there.
If you go to the store, there are countless books that are written to be easy, that are like 3-ingredient meals and, you know, 10-minute meals, that kind of thing, that are designed for people that are just starting out in cooking and have no idea what they're doing. Mm-hmm. The only thing is to be prepared that it takes some forethought to do any kind of like cooking meals where you can't just throw a frozen pizza in the oven. You need to make sure you have all the ingredients for.
Get on board before you're hungry. I mean, get the wheel going before then.
I actually prefer the culinary stylings of Paula Deen, because she cooks and eats like she's like she's gonna commit suicide later that day. Uh-huh. Yeah, fuck this. Fuck it. I'm going to make a burger out of donuts. Fuck you and fuck me. Bom, bom, bom.
She eats and cooks like her parents named her Severus Snape. She's just ready to just wrap it up.
Mm-hmm. And she drinks pudding pretty
much. Out of a goblet. Okay. Yeah, so another good one is find recipes for things that you like to eat at restaurants.
Yeah.
You know, like a... taste just like, or, you know, copycat recipes, things like that, where you have something to weigh it against. Like, oh, okay, I'm getting there because this tastes kind of like that thing I know I like.
Do you guys have a meal that you, like, your go-to meal that you are, like, super good at making, that was one of the first things you learned how to make?
Like, for real?
Yeah.
You could do, and it's pretty easy, like, Italian sausage and, like, chopped up, you know, bell peppers and... some Parmesan cheese and noodles, and like you make like a pasta dish, and it's like 4 ingredients. It's really, really easy.
That's a good one. I make a you boys have had it. They're like chimiritos. They're like half chimichanga, half burritos. Mm-hmm. Make them in the oven.
Oh yeah,
remember that? Yeah. That's good. If you want that recipe, I'll make sure I get in touch. Actually, I stole that from Samzy and the Cooking Guy, so track him down.
My jam is bacon wrapped dates. Super easy to make. I mean, you can't eat it for a meal, but you can make it for a party and roll up to it like, what's up, who brought this food, and be like, I made it.
Did you really do that?
Really? Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
We had it at dinner that one time with Jordan and Jesse. Jesse's like, oh yeah, you can make those, and then I made it. It's like, you can just make them.
This isn't very funny, but it's
no, it's true. Go everybody make bacon wrapped dates. They're gonna blow your mouth off.
Do you know how
face.
I got started cooking? I got started, and it's kind of cheesy and funny, but this book called A Man, A Can, and A Plan.
You've talked about it before on this show.
Yeah, and you can make it with like 3 canned ingredients, you know, and then I got started on that in college and making everything else, you know. But my advice right now is go to the store and just kind of walk the aisles and look for things that look interesting to you. And if you're like, ooh, maybe a pasta dish night, and then go to the internet and look up different pasta recipes, you know, find something where you're like,
don't get that recipe off Yahoo.
No.
Nope.
Take your sister's hair, and then
you can go to allrecipes.com. That's the one I normally use. I have my own. I have an account there, and I have a little digital recipe box where I put all my jams, all my hot jams.
Have you unlocked enough food points to get any cool avatars?
Yes. All I do is browse recipes and give people comments, helpful comments like too much pepper.
I unlocked the Mario Batali mustache yesterday, and that really lets people know what level of cooking skill I'm working with.
Listen, if I want to eat this week, I'm going to need some money. And to do that, to buy the food with the money, I need to go to the money store. Travis, who's driving this car?
Well, first, Joanna would like to wish her boyfriend Robert a happy belated birthday. They've been together 4 years. She's a biomedical engineer technologist, and he just finished a webpage design course. He's going to be 24. They both love video games. Oh, he's also a guitarist, and they live in Newfoundland, Canada. So,
is he a
happy birthday, our neighbors to the north.
Is he a shredder or a plucker? Does it say?
He's a shred plucker. Plucker shredder.
That can't always
I bet if you could combine plucker and shredder for a long enough, it would be some pretty righteous profanity. I was just it was playing around in my mouth. I was like, I don't know what I'm gonna push out of here.
Shrucker.
Newfoundland is of course where Great Big Sea is from, or fine band.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Hey. So there if you say hi see them, just say hi. Jesse Wilson wants to congratulate Jordy Hoyt and Jill Krolik.
Whoa.
Was that good?
That wasn't Krolik? Very good.
Krolik?
Growlik.
Growler. Jill Hermione. oh my God, they got married on Saturday.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Talk about recent. Jordy is a programmer at Amazon. Jill's a scientist. And they got cats, and Jill loves squirrels, and Jordy loves beer, and their cats loves when squirrels drink beer. I made that last one up, but they were roommates originally, and then they fell in love.
Aww.
But they said they started liking each other, but when I read it initially, it said they started killing each other. that's not what happened.
It's like, oh, they have a Mr. and Mrs. Smith thing going on.
That's mm-hmm. adorable. So congratulations to Jordy and Jill. Oh, and got one more. Tim Harrison is one of Andy Torino's closest friends, and it's his 23rd birthday on July 19th. He's Tim's awesome. He got a job at Formspring. He introduced Andy to our show, this program, and they're both Maximum Fun donors, which we love. And it's Tim's birthday, so...
It was Tim's birthday.
Tim's birthday. We missed it.
About a week.
Sorry, Tim. Did my best. Did my best on the program.
When Tim met Andy, it was in primary school.
That I don't understand what that means.
Well, it was like, you know how wizard school works?
Yeah, okay.
Tim met Andy, and the first words he said to him were, "You have holes in your brain," which I think scared the shit out of Andy.
Yeah. Wait, holy shit. Was that a Quantum Leap reference?
I hope so. I hope this friendship is founded on the back of Dr. Samuel Beckett.
Oh, you have Swiss cheese brain.
You have Swiss cheese memory.
Oh, with America's treasure, Scott Bakula.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott Bakula.
Thank you, Scott Bakula. Thank you, Money Zone. Thank you, Andy and Jesse and Joanna. And Scott. You guys are the best. And Scott. Give us a map, Scott.
Also, a quick correction.
Quick, we minor.
We fucked up last week. We goofed it pretty hard. You may remember the plight of Kim, who was honored in a message by Hayden. I said that Kim was a speech therapist and also in law school, and then I commented on how she was doing too many things with her life and how she needs to settle down, girlfriend. Turns out that Kim is a speech therapist and Hayden is in law school. She's just super lazy, I guess, and can only handle one thing at a time.
So we're marginally less impressed with her than we were last week.
We are
completely comfortable saying when Griffin was wrong.
Yeah, I was super wrong, and I'm so sorry. And please forgive me.
But hey, onward and upward. I recently moved.
Hey, wait a second.
What? Ah, motherfucker.
I can't do it. I don't got my geek.
Joanna loves Robert. Robert loves data and design and web page design. Jordy works at Amazon. Jill is a scientist. They love their cats, I guess. Hey, Andy. Hey, Tim. Did you fall in love? You didn't. You fell in friend. This song just got bought by John Cougar Mellencamp. He said it's like one of his. He said, Justin, it doesn't rhyme. Doesn't need to rhyme when it's about America. Capturing the American dream. I'm sorry, Kim. And Hayden. And America. John Cougar Mellencamp. Thanks.
He listens, you know.
Yeah, he's a big fan. So I recently moved into an apartment with two other wonderful people. I'm trying to come up with a name to refer to it as. The ranch, the old place, but nothing has really stuck. My roommate and me are getting desperate. Help us. That's from Tom.
I think that the ranch and the old place and, like, the commune and stuff, that's pretty cool. But let me pitch this. What about, like, an old-timey southern plantation name?
Oh, wow.
Like, have you called it, like, Belle Rouge?
Oh, my God.
I love that.
Listen, none of us...
This is my home, La Croix.
In our lifetimes.
The main point here is that the reason for naming a place is that it's easier to lure members of the opposite sex or same sex, if that's your bag, into it without it sounding like, let me come to the place where I sleep and make duties and showers.
And I think it's important that this place sounds safe.
Safe. Do not go with the kill cube.
Whatever you do, avoid the honey trap.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to the. Let's head back to the lair.
Ooh.
The
fortress of bonitude.
That's bad. Pussy torture zone is awful. Don't go with that one.
Yeah.
Chuck E. Cheese's.
You could keep the government off your tail by calling it something that is already prominent. Like if you say the library or something.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, that works.
Or McDonald's.
Ooh, what if you just called it like the Church of the Divine Light?
Oh, shit. And then you can be tax exempt status? Yeah. Very clever.
Kids camp.
Wait.
Come on. I'm going to make love to you at kids camp. What?
Is that with a Z? Ooh, call it space camp. Everybody wants to go to space camp.
I think space camp is probably the best name.
And then you can make like all kinds of like, and I'm going to take you out of this world.
Yeah.
I'm about ready to launch.
Houston, we have a problem.
The problem is that I already launched. That's my bad. That's on me, Houston. You could get a console set up. Like a whole...
Oh, yeah.
Lots of knobs and switches in there. I love that.
And then pretend like you're talking to Houston just constantly.
Listen.
Yeah. T-minus 9, 8, 7. Yeah, these are all... This is all going to work out super well.
Yeah, this is going to be great. Listen, NASA has discontinued its shuttle program. We got to have somewhere to go from here. The dream of interplanetary exploration is alive in my bedroom. Mm-hmm. So come, let us extend our national dream of traveling through the stars as I make a brief love to you, and then later I make you something from the kitchen.
Which we call the galley.
We call the galley, technically speaking.
Can we just name the house a person's name and then have it sort of be a character in their story?
Like, this is Steve the house?
This is Dennis. This is my house, Dennis. It's very spacious.
I live
in here. And then you pretend like it's, like, haunted. And you talk to it, and you're like, Dennis, it's cold in here.
Wait, is Dennis your butler?
Well, it's more like a house spirit.
Dennis, your spirit has... Your ectoplasm has given me a chill. How can you ever move, though?
Yeah, you
leave Dennis behind.
You gotta burn it down.
Dennis, as with all friendships, when you have to leave one of your friends, you must kill them.
If I can't have you, no one can, Dennis. Was Dennis the name of the house? I forgot.
Dennis is the name of the house, and it's gonna be awkward, because every time you walk into or out of the house, it's like Dennis is either eating you or throwing you up.
And don't go in the back door.
Hey, listen, I've had a great time talking with you tonight. I'd like this to continue. Do you want to crawl inside my friend Dennis's mouth and have sex?
Can we go in and out of the back door repeatedly and have sex with our house Dennis?
For Dennis' sake.
Why are you trying to have sex with the house Dennis? Why can't we not just at once have a question that's about
that doesn't involve houses that have sex names? With residences?
Yeah, like... why does it always have to turn so pornographic?
Can't be just about houses. You guys ever seen the movie Monster House?
Uh huh.
It'd be like that.
It wouldn't though. Would it? I mean, if you think about it, it wouldn't be like that at all.
Have you guys ever seen the movie the Money Trap, starring Tom Hanks?
You're thinking of the Honey Trap.
The money pit, you mean?
The money trap pit. The money trap pit.
Are you thinking they should name the house the money pit?
Can they name it...
Scott Bakula?
Can they name the house Scott Bakula?
This is my house. America's
treasure, Scott Bakula. America's treasure,
Scott Bakula. I live in him.
Hold on.
I live inside Scott Bakula.
Can we take it to the next level?
Okay.
Can the three of you, assuming you're not on a long lease, that you would be penalized for leaving, can you just go live inside of Scott Bakula?
Like inner space style?
Like inner space style, live in his guts.
Are you saying they need to invent shrinking technology?
Shrink technology. Where do you live? Just send that letter straight to Scott. just P.O. Box Scott. And
I've attached some notes and stuff to his eyeballs so I can read it, too.
Mm-hmm. Wait, don't read my mail, Scott. That's weird. All these letters just keep getting mailed to me, but it just says Scott on it. It's like, oh, that's mine. Just eat the letter. I'll get it. If I could control Scott Bakula's body from the inside starting Inner Space, Quantum Leap 2, Day 1. You guys don't even know. Leaped again. Here I go again.
So you...
There are tiny people in my body making me make this poor decision.
So basically, Scott Bakula's manager would get a call, and he said, hi, is this a manager? Yes.
This is definitely Scott Bakula. These definitely aren't people inside of Scott Bakula.
So wait. This has gone from living in Scott Bakula to controlling it like Meet Dave style.
Yeah.
Like you're inside Scott Bakula's head piloting. That's where
we're at, Travis. Keep up.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. That's exactly the situation. Can you put me in a TV show? What kind?
Quantum Leap is pretty good.
You know how we've been itching to start on Quantum Leap 2, the sequel to a TV show? That thing that, of course, people do all the time.
If they're bringing back Dallas, can't they bring back... I mean, they're bringing back...
I'm willing to bet they wouldn't call it Quantum Leap 2. I think they could just call it Quantum Leap. Quantum Leap: some more.
As everyone knows, he took a brief sabbatical and never returned home. He's still out there leaping.
He is. That show had a very ambiguous ending. I'm saying it's up to us to shrink ourselves, lip and Scott back to his body, and control him to create Quantum Leap 2. Still leaping.
Yep.
Leaped again.
How much money, how much salary do you want me to push for, Scott? Just the regular amount, however much
I normally get
from shows.
Can we three times that money? Can we triple it and then split it with your...
And then shrink it.
I got a lot of mini mouths to feed. I have mini mouths to feed. I mean, by which I mean tiny mouths that live
Can
inside
we make
me.
Scott Bakula giant?
So that we okay, don't have so you're saying not shrink down, we just blow up,
blow up Scott Bakula.
Oh my god, you guys have just set up a reality where we can have a battle between giant Scott Bakula and giant gonorrhea. That's the two of them waging a war. A kid, lasers shooting out of his eyes, he's leaping, although I don't know why he would have laser technology. He's just big Scott Bakula.
Yeah.
Well... You know.
Bigger.
Why not? I mean, if you're going to shoot for the stars, shoot for the stars.
Yeah.
Don't limit yourself here. We got to dream big.
So we're all going to go to Scott Bakula, get inside him at once, and what if we just gave Scott Bakula the antibodies to fight gonorrhea, and then it would just live in, you would live inside him and be cured?
Oh, okay. So he's like an incubator.
He's like a water slide, is what you're saying. Like every... Yeah. Every person on Earth would have to go through Scott Bakula's body, and then they would be free of diseases? I don't understand what you're saying.
Scott Bakula needs to eat everybody, is what I'm telling you. Giant Scott Bakula, not regular Scott Bakula.
So to answer your question about what to name your apartment, Scott Bakula should eat everybody in the world. Glad that we could help with that one.
No, giant Scott Bakula should eat everybody
in
the world.
I meant to say giant Scott Bakula.
If regular Scott Bakula eats people, he's Hannibal Lecter.
So he absorbs all the gonorrhea and then flies into space and explodes, saving everyone on Earth, but sacrificing himself.
This rain is really weird. It smells like Scott Bakula and gonorrhea in a rain form. Why did we come out today? Let's stop this game of catch. I'm over it.
Let's do a Yahoo.
All right.
This one was sent in by Joseph Hennessy. It's by Yahoo Answers user Ryan, who asks, how can I successfully become a creepy person? Hi, I would like to become a creepy person, not just to the eyes of one other, but for everybody. What procedure should I follow in order to become an effetus creepy person? Thanks.
What?
Excuse me?
I feel like getting on Yahoo Answers is a good first step in the right direction.
You are fucking halfway there. Are you kidding me?
I think that beginning your Yahoo Answers question with hello is a good step to hello, Internet.
Hi.
Hi, no one in particular. To me. Talk like that. That's good.
There's the best answer as voted by Yahoo Answers users is their username is just period. It's just one period. And they said, never frown, even when you're sad, because you never know who's falling in love with your smile. So basically just do that. Like basically do what that person just did and said to you.
Say those things to people.
In that exact order.
The secret to being a creep is to imagine a reality in which Paul Giamatti has no acting talent. Mm-hmm. And if you can act like that, like Paul Giamatti, but without the redeeming quality of his wonderful acting, that's the quintessential creep.
A second, I thought that you were just saying, if you want to be a creepy person...
The attitude that someone would have if Paul Giamatti didn't have any acting ability.
Yeah,
if Paul Giamatti had never acted...
Paul Giamatti sucks at acting. Oh, that guy's... You're such a creep for saying that. I thought that was what you were saying at first.
No.
You know who I hate? Paul Giamatti. Ooh, get out of here. You.
Get out of here, you
Oh, creep. I thought you were talking like an alternate reality kind of circumstance where if we lived in a world where Paul Giamatti was bad didn't have any acting ability.
Oh, shit. Or he just never tried it. That's fucking ep one. Listen, giant Sam Beckett. Paul Giamatti is never going to act. You've got to convince him to go to the audition. And then,
boy. Oh, God.
Sorry. Let's stop the show.
Shit. Here's the thing. If you ever see me in person, just walk up to me and say, giant scumbagula, and I'll just start. I promise you I will always find that idea entertaining. You know what the worst part about doing this show is? I'm going to have to walk out my office door, and I'm going to walk in a world where there isn't a giant scumbagula. And here in the sphere.
Can we stay in this dreamscape forever?
Well, listen, we thank you for coming into this dreamscape with us. We're so happy to have you and so happy that you guys have stuck with us. If you get a second, tell somebody, you know, say, hey, listen, this show is going to start slow. And then at the end, it's going to really go on a journey. So I need you to go on it with me because I can't do this alone. I'm afraid. And share the show with somebody you care about.
If you know Scott Bakula, can you try and get him on board? Cause I feel like we had some pretty good ideas for him.
Mm-hmm. Career-wise,
some real advancements we want to make to his career. I think we're really going to turn this.
We're really going to blow him up, and then we're going to blow him up,
and then we're going to blow up his cell because everybody wants a piece of him, and they can. Mm-hmm. He's large enough that everybody can get a sliver. This is my chunk of the Berlin Wall, and this is my chunk of Scott Bakula that I took. And
this is my glowing piece of that radical rock.
This is my piece of the aggro crag.
Hey, your mantle's fucking weird, man.
It's a weird mantle, dude.
Got some weird-ass tchotchkes up in here.
If you go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron, you can do just like Joanna and Jesse and Andy did and say something to a friend. Corporations, if you got a business you want us to plug, we do that too. We got forums. It's also at MaximumFun.org. As long as you're there, go check it out.
If you want to send us a question or a Yahoo question, our email is mbmbam@gmail.com. You can just shoot us one there.
Or mbmbam@maximumfun.org.
Yes.
Either one works.
Thank you so much to John Roderick and the Long Winters for letting us use the song It's a Departure as our theme song. It's on the album Putting the Days to Bed, which, no joke, is a fucking phenomenal album, and everybody should buy it.
Say thanks to John Roderick. Is just at John Roderick on Twitter, so say thanks to him. Say hey.
Hey, you rock really good.
You rock so right. I see on here that Isolated in Indianapolis owes us a cheesecake. Is this accurate?
Yeah, she let us know that, you know, we talked last week directly to her boyfriend and told him to move. And then she, I think, made the mistake of listening to the episode with him. And now he is moving to Indianapolis to be with her. And she informed us that her cheesecakes are, in fact, amazing. So in my opinion, she owes us, but more specifically me, a cheesecake.
Good. The good news is we helped save this relationship. The bad news is that someone did one of the things we told them to do.
Yes.
Which we cannot stress enough. You really should not do that.
Don't ever do that.
Unless you are Scott Bakula.
Speaking of which, thanks to Bob Ball, who does our intro.
Thank you, Bob.
We love him. I went to Red Lobster with Bob this week.
So what'd you get? Cheese rolls?
What?
Did you get some of those cheese rolls?
You endless shrimp?
What do you?
You endless shrimp?
A day with a Red Lobster visit without Cheddar Bay. What's the point?
Are we talking scampi? Are we talking fried?
A little bit of both. You know me.
Right? Nice.
So, thanks to everybody. We love it when you tweet about the show on Twitter, which seems like the best place to put tweets. Just use the MBMBAM hashtag. People are. The best thing about it is when people don't tweet anything about the show, just something that's going on in their life, and then put the MBMBA have a hashtag for some reason.
I like that, hey, though.
I like that. Just keep it going. Share the show with people. And hey, if you're telling somebody about it or if you're tweeting about it, put out a link to our sampler. It's bit.ly/itsmabimbam. So do that.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks. We love you. Griffin.
This final Yahoo was sent in by Golly Ayali. Thank you, Golly. It's by Yahoo Answers user ?, who asks, did you ever guest star on The Golden Girls?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, and me. Kiss your dad. Square on the lips.
Keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Hey, keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Man, these girls are smart. Three stacks, these girls are smart. Play your part.